T minus 3 days until the biggest game in 30 years.
Yeah.
And I know there are Bills fans starting to get the itch.
Oh, sure.
How hard would it be to get to Kansas City? What would it feel like to watch this happen? Well, the good news, the way the NFL works now, if you have the money, you can be inside this game.
You can score a ticket.
Yeah, in Kansas City. The bad news, emphasis on if you have the money.
Is it that much?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we all know that Bills Mafia travels well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Bills Chiefs, 6:30 Sunday night. If you want to watch the game.
Watch it.
Go hang out with Miss Kimmy.
Oh, Lady K?
Yep, she'll be hanging out at the Bill Grace Tap Room in Chi-Lai.
Yep.
AFC Championship style.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Food, drink, Kimmy, Bills.
A lot of laughs.
Go hang out with Kimmy at the Bill Grace Tap Room in Chi-Lai. Sunday, AFC Championship on CMF. And Tommy, it's not crazy to think. There will be a large contingency of Bills fans in Kansas City Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
If you are toying with the idea of going, Spectrum News may have poured some cold water in that idea this week.
Oh, why?
Well, they did a story on what it would cost to get from Western New York to the game.
And it's into the stadium.
Yes. Do you want to start with tickets?
Okay. 500?
No. Tickets for this game are actually higher than what they would normally be for a Bills-Chiefs game at Arrowhead. But right now, to get in the door, you can get in for $254.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
It's reasonable.
I didn't see that coming.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing.
And Kansas City is an expensive town.
How many?
I mean, food, restaurants and stuff. It's pretty on par with Rochester.
See, it used to be.
Where they went top shelf?
Well, I don't know. The last time I was there, I was kind of surprised.
Oh, how big is that
then
city?
Then again, it could have been my boss taking us to, you know, fancy restaurants because it's a big deal now.
Apparently, you got constipated.
This is a big deal stuff.
How many people does that stadium hold?
70,000. It's around the same. It's almost the same as Highmark.
Mm-hmm.
They were built the same time.
Okay.
So, 254, you're in the game.
Right, that's not bad.
You're
going
to be up there, though, probably.
No, but for the magnitude of this game.
I agree with you. But here's the thing. Tickets have also been coming down as this week has gone on. They started $400, so it's not crazy to think that as we get closer, if you wanted to roll the dice, you could save some more money.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the idea of getting there. So, we talked this morning about carpooling to Kansas City.
Yeah.
According to Spectrum, gas from Rochester to Kansas City will run you about $100.
Per car.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
14-hour drive.
That's one way around.
Well, one way.
All right.
So, yeah, what, $50? What are you driving?
I don't know.
You're driving a moped?
All right, so $200 for gas.
There you go. A round-trip flight, however, is sitting around $1,000.
So that's what's going to get you.
You got it.
But then you get there quick.
Yeah, that's how planes work.
Yeah.
So if you were to fly and buy a ticket, you're at about $1,250 right now for the worst seat in the house. You need a place to stay? Hotels in the greater Kansas City area can be found for around $150 a night.
But you're probably not anywhere close to that stadium.
Yeah, but Kansas City is out. The stadium's out in the suburbs, so really nowhere you're close to this. They're out in the sticks. You're really nowhere close.
Okay.
All right, so you add in Ubers, you add in food. All in all, for the worst seat in the house, to fly to Kansas City and home will probably run you around $2,200.
Per
person. Well, yeah, probably per person minus the hotel room.
But that's with the flight, not the drive.
With the flight. With the driving, about $1,000.
That's a big difference.
It's also 30 hours different.
Yeah, but you're saving a G.
Is it worth it?
To save a G?
Either one. I mean, is $2,200 worth one game this weekend?
I think that's pushing it.
Okay, but $1,000 to drive?
$1,000, I mean, maybe you can work that.
Here's the problem, though. If you're going to drive, you have to take Friday off of work. There's no way you can make that drive Saturday, get up, and be ready to go.
And you
got to
take Monday
off. You wouldn't want to do
that. You got it. And you may actually have to pay for an extra night of hotel if you're going to drive, which is good. I mean, it's not going to be $1,000, but it's still going to take.
I mean, you could drive overnight on the way home if you don't get blasted.
You're going to drive from
sounds terrible.
11 o'clock at night when the game lets out.
I mean, if you don't get blasted.
No, don't listen to this, man. You wouldn't even get home until lunchtime.
Yeah.
If you went all the way through.
No, but let's say, yeah, true.
No, I take that back.
So you wouldn't
it's
be
15
saving
hours. How exhausted you're going to be after that game,
oh,
one way or the other.
All right.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. $2,200 to fly, about $1,000 to drive. You are in the house, worst seat in the house, Bills, Chiefs, Sunday. Is it worth it? And I guess it all depends on how the game ends, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, being there for what we all want.
Yeah.
It's not a question. That $2,200 would be worth it. But would you have the same amount of fun and a great experience if things don't go the Bills way?
No.
No?
You just wasted $2,000 on Kansas City.
You'd have to feel like it was all for nothing.
It is.
You guys think so?
Yeah, especially.
You've already been here and seen this.
But not in person.
Not in person. No, but they've already gotten here and lost. I mean,
Yeah.
If you don't get what you want out of this, that $2,200 is going to stick in your throat.
I understand, but like, you know, being able to see an AFC Championship game with your team in it doesn't come around all the time.
No, but I don't know.
And I mean, even the first time the Bills went in 2021 with the Josh Allen experience, right, featuring Stephon Diggs, that game, they were overmatched. Like, they weren't cooked yet. They weren't ready. Now, we have taken them out.
They're ready to go.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
But doesn't that make it even more disappointing if things don't go your way?
That's the only problem is I think the loss would really hurt.
I think you guys aren't appreciating the experience of traveling to another stadium
and the
magnitude of
this game. I want to say you're right. Like, it's, in all, you should be having a unique, cool experience, being in a different place, experiencing that game. But I think when you have so much invested in one side of it all, I think it kind of just ruins it all in the end.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about the story on Spectrum this week, what it'll cost to get you to Kansas City and inside this game. Long story short, if you're flying between ticket, hotel, Ubers, food, flight, it's going to run you about $2,200 a person. If you are going to drive 15 and a half hours, about $1,000 a person. And look, I'll say this.
What's that?
Having gone last year to Kansas City for a Bills game, the trip to Arrowhead is really cool. The tailgate scene is not Buffalo, but it's as close as I've seen to any other stadium, and everyone was very kind. The stadium is really cool in itself.
Okay.
Right? And they took really good care of it because it's the same age as Highmark. You would have no idea. They have an old AFL museum inside. It's visually striking. If you have a chance and you are on the fence right now, listen to me.
What are you going
to
do?
Screw it and go.
Okay.
Go. When are you going to have this chance? Go.
All right.
Go do it.
I mean, life is short. Don't be disappointed in Kansas City.
Look, there's time to make money back, man.
That's true.
We all got time to make money back. How many opportunities do you have like this? Go. But there is also, Kimmy, one more factor in all of it.
What's that?
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, this could be the last game of the season on Sunday. Or there could be one more.
Oh.
One more game.
But that's a bridge too far for most people.
Is it?
The Super Bowl?
Super Bowl is in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Do you want to know?
How much? So they crunched the numbers.
Oh, I got it right here.
So getting in the door, crappiest seat Kansas City is 22.
Yeah.
It has to be.
All right, I'm going to break
just the ticket alone.
I'm going to break it down for you because I crunched these numbers myself. Are you
okay.
Ready?
Oh, all right. You did it. All
right. Right now, on the secondary market, a single ticket for the worst seat in the house
of
the Super Bowl.
One ticket.
At the Superdome.
At the Superdome in New Orleans. Worst seat in the house. End zone, top five rows. We'll run you $6,500 a seat.
Yeah, that's just a little bit more.
Flights are actually cheap. Like you
right now, they're
you're
cheap.
Right, you're right, right. But it's the hotel that's going to bury you. If you want to stay anywhere in New Orleans, you are looking at minimum $1,200 a night hotel stay.
Okay, so how many nights? You need a minimum of three nights.
Yeah, let's say you go Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Monday. Right.
So you're looking at $3,000 for a hotel.
You're already at six what?
$6,500 for the seat.
Oh, so you're almost at, you're at 10G.
You're at 10G now. We haven't included food. We haven't included Ubers, partying.
Hookers. And I don't know, what are hookers going for down there now?
I don't know. I mean, economy's bad, so that usually lowers the
price. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Okay.
And it depends what you want on the menu.
I mean, you could be looking at $12,000 for a trip to Kansas, and that's per person.
Mm. That's only $24,000 a couple.
Oh, no, we're probably with the, I mean, because you're split a hotel with somebody. You're looking at, for two people...
You could buy a used Mercedes for $24,000.
So here's my question.
What?
Let's say you're picking between these two games.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take the guarantee and bargain of $2,200? Or do you hold out and potentially see the greatest game of our lives in person? A bucket list experience. How many people have been to a Super Bowl, for God's sakes, for like $12,000 and change?
So I think that the better experience would be going to New Orleans.
Okay.
But the better game's going to be in Kansas City. If you want to see the game experience, this matchup is going to be unbelievable. Where the Super Bowl could be a blowout.
It could be.
There's been some Super Bowls that are just goddamn boring.
Not recently, though.
I know, but over the history of, what, the 50-something years?
Sure.
A lot of blowouts.
Or think about spending, I mean, we're talking about the guilt of spending that money if your team loses. Imagine spending that to watch your team potentially lose a Super Bowl. Does that hurt more, or are you just happy that you saw a Super Bowl?
I think the Super Bowl is different because it's a bucket list for only the
it's
most...
It's the entire experience.
Yes, and everything that happens around a Super Bowl. Okay. I was fortunate enough to be in New York City when they did that. I didn't go to the game, right? But just being around everything, that was unbelievable.
Right.
Okay. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, no, I mean... It would suck watching your team lose in the Super Bowl.
Right, but you wouldn't feel like you wasted it.
I don't think you'd regret it.
Okay.
But the price
is ridiculous. Depending on how it goes.
Yeah, but again,
I mean, Kansas City's an affordable town.
Yeah.
It's a friendly town.
But
it's
then
not,
you wake up and
it's
you're
not dirty or dangerous. Their cost of prostitution is way down. They've always kept it that way. They've always kept it working man prices.
Yeah, but then you get working man prostitute.
Yeah. Good Missouri cooch.
It costs an extra $20.
Prime Missouri cooch.
It costs extra $20 to get her to take her Carhartt off. I'll do it, but only on my Carhartt.
I also don't know if Kansas City is like a bucket list city for most people. Like maybe you don't appreciate.
Wait, they taking out the game?
Well, no. I'm saying like you're talking about.
They have stockyards in downtown Kansas City.
I'm talking about, you know, how you're talking about like going to unique place like New Orleans or like. I don't know. I mean, once you go there, I'm sure you appreciate it more, but you're not going there because it's going to be a unique experience city-wise, right?
Oh, you're talking about Kansas City.
Yeah, yes. Like, you know, the sightseeing stuff.
It's very Midwest country. Yeah.
Everything's made of concrete.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just going there for the game and to maybe get some good food.
I mean, they got good food. They got nice bars and stuff, but it's not, my God.
Right.
No, but she makes a great point. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you would be spending more money probably on anything in your life going to the Super Bowl, but it would also be a game and a vacation.
Yes.
Whereas the trip to Kansas City.
It's a game.
Yeah.
It's all business.
Yeah.
It's a business trip for a fan.
This is where the Kansas City Royals play, mm-hmm. and then the Kings used to play.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, the weather's not going to be great.
Yeah.
You could take a tour of the Kemper Arena if it's still around.
That's where Tom, yes.
Is it still there?
Yeah, I think it's still there.
That thing's been around since I was a baby.
If I remember correctly, do they have livestock auctions in there now?
I think so, yeah.
I'll say this again, and I want you to listen to me.
I'm listening.
I know that there are people, again, that are on the fence, and they're looking for a sign. What do I do? Do I go to Kansas City? Your favorite team only has a few runs at being good in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And being there for those moments, money is hard to come by, but it always comes back around eventually.
Mm.
If you are there for these
unless
moments.
You're homeless.
Yeah. But you could be homeless with this memory.
Look at that.
And that's just it. If you are there for this, if the Bills pull it out and you're there, you have that forever. If you have been thinking about doing this and you have the means to do it, this is your message right now from the heavens to pull the trigger and go.
Throw that plastic down and go.
Don't think about it. Just do it.
All right.
Because you, as long as the Bills win, and I cannot be held responsible for anything that goes wrong. You will not regret when it's all said and done having been there. You spend more time with the people you work with than any of your friends and family.
Sure.
And most jobs are not 9-to-5 anymore.
No.
You know, you require
access. It's go, 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 baby.
You need access to everyone all the time. So being able, don't hurt yourself. What is that?
Things are popping, baby.
Being able to get a hold of any of your coworkers at any moment seems like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why this man could be the last of his kind with what he doesn't have.
Got to be connected with my peeps.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So earlier this week, we needed something done that we couldn't do ourselves.
Yeah.
It required an upstairs person.
Yeah.
And a very kind upstairs person. So and we're trying to figure it out without bothering anybody else because we don't want to be a bother.
Yeah.
And it specifically involved Tommy. So I asked Kimmy. She goes, I can't really do it. Me, I can't help you out. I go, and we go, all right, well, just get a hold of this woman.
Yeah.
And Tommy goes, how? And I said, just text her.
Yeah.
And it got quiet.
Yes.
Because you don't have her phone number.
I do not have her phone number. But she's fairly new.
She's been here for like 3 years.
That's pretty new.
Okay. So then we start thinking of other people Tommy can text that we work with that can help him out with this thing.
People I would be sure that he would have their number.
Mm.
And it became very apparent.
Yes, what's up?
Other than Kimmy and I, you don't have the cell phone number of a single person that works in this building.
I do not. None.
Like
None.
We work with probably 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
All said and done.
Sure.
And people that you've worked with for decades.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like Spizzano, you've known for 30 years.
I've never had his phone number, ever. I've never talked to Scott Spizzano. I've known Scott Spizzano.
I've never talked to Scott Spizzano. So it sounds like he's been accused of murder.
So I've known Scott for 31 years since I've lived here, right? 31, 32 years. I've never spoke to him on a phone. I've never called him on a cell phone, amazing. A landline. Ever.
How is that possible?
Matter of fact, all those people outside of that morning show that I was on back in the day, I never talked to them.
Okay.
Why would I?
There is not a person who we work with in this building whose phone number I don't have. And Kimmy, I would assume you're the same way.
At this point, like, with all this, you know, you've had to deal with different people for different reasons. I think I have majority of the people's number. Yeah.
Yeah, my ex-wife works upstairs. Don't have her number.
Well, yeah, that one I get.
I burnt it.
You burnt the contact in your phone?
No, back in the day, I had a phone book. I burnt the whole phone book.
Wait, they're just going to give you another phone book, though.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think it through.
Do you not panic? Because there have been times, people have to reach out to you for a specific reason, too. Like, do you panic when you see that number pop up and you don't know who it is?
What if they ever reached out to him for anything?
So this has happened.
Oh.
So,
because then you feel like you should know who this is, but I don't. And I don't know how to be like, hey, who is this?
So the when I was driving a car for Vision.
Yeah, yeah.
The sales guy who handled that account, I never had his actual phone number in my...
You didn't save it.
Was that?
You didn't save it.
I never saved it, so it would just come up as the number, and then I would go, hey, and he'd go, hey, it's so-and-so. I go, yeah, okay, what's up? So even that guy that I should have had his number, I didn't. But I didn't really need it, because I didn't talk to that guy, so business got done.
Okay, 252-WCMF.
I don't have the car anymore.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. What is the better way to be? Should you be able to get a hold of your coworkers at all times, or is it better to be a ghost where you work? Because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, if you're doing this intentionally, I get where you're coming from. And it may actually be the better way. Because no matter how great the peace and quiet is off the clock, there will come a day where someone's going to need something from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be pulling what is left of your hair out, trying to find a way to get work done off the clock.
Okay.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
And it really sucks. But at the same time, as we saw earlier this week, there may come a time,
oh boy,
where you need to get a hold of someone with an emergency.
Oh my God, what emergency?
I guess you need to be let into the building, something like that.
I'll call one of you guys.
Well, what if we're not here?
Yeah,
we're not here. Let's do the show.
Yeah, that's also a great point. He doesn't do the show without us.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have to record something you forgot. I don't know.
He doesn't record his own stuff.
I know.
God, you're the only person in America that doesn't have to have everyone else's cell phone number because you've somehow drank lazy yourself into this position.
I'll take it.
God.
It worked.
Kimmy?
The experiment worked.
You didn't
alcoholism works,
you didn't
man.
Know what you were doing. You're
but it still
idiot.
Counts. It all looks the same in the box scores, right?
You've been the
a
worst.
Hit's a hit.
You've been the worst person in the world your entire life, and you keep somehow backing into these golden situations, and it drives me nuts.
Well, I backed into some golden situation last night at your mama's house.
How would that work?
It was different, but we had fun.
Kimmy? Yeah.
We made it work.
Is sharing your number with everyone you work with or keeping yourself a ghost the better way to be?
Probably keeping yourself a ghost.
Okay.
Only because...
Oh, with your skin, yeah.
Only because... Oh, my God. That was the pettiest thing you ever said.
It is catty bitch hour now.
Only because that way, you know, you're never going to be the go-to person in an emergency. And if you're somebody that doesn't want to take on more responsibilities or more of a role, then that kind of eliminates you from
the
conversation.
Headaches?
Because it does kind of suck when you volunteer that information. So now people... Almost like even if it's not an emergency, we'll go to you for things because they just think, oh, they'll handle it.
And I don't know what number they have of me here anymore because, you know, they always say, will you please update all your stuff? I've never done it since I've been here.
So you just keep clicking accept.
So they may have my landline from my Webster house. I'm not kidding you.
So there's some poor schmuck in Webster getting calls from the FCC on a weekly basis.
This is a Vision. We want our car back.
252-WCMF. We realized earlier this week when Tommy needed something that the only cell phones from the 100 people we work with that he has in his phone are me and Kimmy. He has worked in this business for 30-something years.
Yeah, 32 years.
With some people the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And he somehow does not have their cell phone in his phone. Now, Kimmy, I understand what you're saying, right? It does sound like paradise to not be able to be contacted as soon as work is done.
But if you need something.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
The other issue that shows up is if you are not at beck and call from your boss, someone above you, it may look like you're not reliable. And if you are someone that wants to make themselves valuable at work or maybe try and work themselves up the chain, the smarter play may be to not only share your phone with everybody, but have everyone else's phone ready to go.
Well, yes. If you're looking to get somewhere, you have to be connected. But you can't say I'm not reliable. I've been here 32 years, so I am reliable.
You do come in every day.
And I don't care about your chain.
Yeah, it's setting a boundary.
I said, F your chain many years ago. You can shove your chain. Don't care about it. So
shove your chain.
Shove your chain, baby.
You were saying, Kimmy.
It's setting a boundary, right? It's saying I am home and I do not care what is going on back
right.
at work.
Okay, but boundaries, it's also an interesting idea because you're
to
right.
disconnect.
Look, I'm with you. You should be able to set a boundary mm-hmm. with your mm-hmm. employer. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of employers that don't like that. And although yeah. they won't out and out right. punish you for it,
there's going to be.
You'll pay.
People are going to get ahead.
You'll pay.
You will.
Yeah.
You will.
Well, you think they're going to give you some leather chair to sit and run your mouth? Don't think so.
That leather chair came over from Wheeze's old studio.
It still works. It's a good quality lazy boy chair.
252-WCMF. Are there jobs anymore where you can protect your cell phone number from your coworkers?
I don't know of one.
Because like there are some jobs, like you just brought up, when you're hired, they will ask for it, and they'll post it everywhere where people can see it, right, in case of emergency. And if you get hired, and they were to say, we need your phone, and you were to say, I'd rather keep that to myself, that sounds really suspicious.
Yeah, I don't think you could get away with that now.
Yeah. I mean, and we talk about getting contacted for work outside of work hours and how much that would suck. I don't know if that would be the worst part. I think the worst part would be a coworker that now believes we're friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you give a coworker your cell phone.
That's a pest.
There is that gray area of, unless you out and out say, only call me or text me in case of work emergencies. Mm-hmm. You give someone your phone number, we're friends. And how many times do you want to look someone in the face and be like, do not use this unless you have
to?
Yeah. Right?
You're stuck at that point. You can't go backwards.
So, like when that coworker who maybe they're
abusing
nice and
the
all.
Power
yeah. Because like, and you also can't ignore that coworker when they text or call you because right. you got to see them every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Puts you in a bad spot.
It's a very bad spot.
Okay, shut up. Why are you so smug right now? You didn't do it on purpose. You're just lazy.
Yeah, but it works. Again, take the win when you can get it.
Kimmy.
You also have to fear, and this is like a new thing that has popped up recently. Maybe for me, I don't know if it existed before. The work group chat.
Oh, it's the worst. That is the worst.
I realize that may be one of the most annoying ones to be a part of because, to your point, you have to participate. It's not like, you know, how you could just send an emoji in like a friend group chat just to show you're like, I read the text. When you are in a work group chat and you see everybody else replying and professionally replying,
so you got to match that reply.
You have to like draft something up that matches everybody else's tone.
Can't get the thumbs up.
Well, to Kimmy's point.
Okay.
You're now being compared to all the people in the group chat.
To Kimmy's point, Friday night, you know, we're done with work. We got the weekend. I'm on my way to Oswego for a hockey tournament. It was Thursday, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get a text from a coworker. Kimmy and I
forgot about
text.
That group chat. That was a different one.
And he asks, he needed to borrow something from our studio. And it was something that is Kimmy's pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was a standoff between Kimmy and I of who was going to answer
first.
Yep. And Kimmy finally broke like 4 hours
Ooh.
Later.
4 hours you made the dude sit?
I didn't want to make the decision. I like this guy a lot. He's a really good dude. But I didn't want to make the decision.
Well, yeah, because it wasn't really your decision.
But Kimmy is the least confrontational person on the planet.
But she also doesn't
check
anything.
This person is somebody that we rely on heavily, and I...
Oh, that dude.
I also...
You don't know who that is.
Yeah, right there.
No!
I also know he's asking us because he's doing something that isn't probably his job or his... So it's like you feel like you got to help this guy out. You know what I mean?
252-WCMF, how do you ask that coworker for their number when you're looking for it? Because that can also get uncomfortable if it doesn't happen naturally.
Oh.
So
you'd have to go up and go, hey, man, can I have your number just in case?
Yeah. Right? Like, or ask, hey, can I have your phone number? Like, if it's not one of those things where, like, here's my number in case you need anything, and you have to ask them. I mean, you do feel like you need a reason why. Like, just in case sometimes doesn't cut it, because then it makes you sound like a desperate guy at a bar. Can I have your number just in case? I'll call you.
So you'd have to swap numbers, really. It had to be an even prisoner swap.
Well, yeah, but the swap...
Right? Something for something here.
The swap doesn't exist anymore. You give me your number, I text you with my number, then you save it.
Okay.
That's how that works.
But there would be an exchange of numbers.
Yes.
What if you ask for that number, you don't get the one... Like, oh, yeah, here's my number.
And then I just keep that number and don't text
you. But then you never get that dude's number.
Is that a faux pas?
Well, that sounds like a cold slap in the face. That's like saying, I love you, you don't get a reply.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a big old meatball hanging there.
So if you ask for a coworker's phone number, you immediately have to give them yours?
I would assume that's what they're looking for.
All right. Kimmy,
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, because there are some coworkers whose numbers we really just don't need, but we have.
Mm. Yeah.
If that person comes to you and asks for your number, are you forced to give it to them?
Yeah. I can't imagine a world where you'd say no to anybody, because if they ask why, and I just simply say because I don't want you to have my number, there's no way you can dance around that coworker asking that question.
Well, no,
you can't say, like, I don't want you to have it.
You could simply say there's no reason for you to need it.
That sounds so bad.
Well, I mean, technically you would have it as soon as you called him. You get that, and they would have your number.
No, I'm saying I'm just saying straight up, nobody's straight got up, anyone's number. Right. Can I have your, let me get your phone number. Is there a way to get out of giving them your number?
I don't think so.
A coworker?
I'm sure you could, but it'd be a huge dick move.
I keep it private?
Yeah. You're beneath me.
I'm running out of minutes.
I don't need to. I don't need you in my life.
I have a burner phone. You know, my old man, you know, he's a cop.
Yeah.
Growing up, he had an unlisted phone number.
Mm.
So, like, it was a big deal who we gave our phone number.
Well, yeah, considering his job, yeah.
Bro, he's a Gates cop. Like, with all due respect, I don't know how many people are calling my dad. Like, oh, I'm going to come get you. You didn't get the cat out of that tree fast enough yesterday. You got the spikiest hair I've ever seen, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
But it was unlisted.
Yeah. And it was almost something. He almost bragged about it.
Well, because it made you feel like you're above everybody.
But you just call the phone book and go, don't put my number in there. It's not like there's not like VIP clearance for an unlisted phone number in the phone book. You know, at some point in history, we were told, someone was told, you need to do this.
Oh.
This is good for your car.
Oh.
And we can't pinpoint the exact moment that was, but once people started seeing other people doing it, they did it too.
Yeah.
You thought you were wrong for not doing it.
Thank you. I always kind of judge people like, oh, you think you're better than me by doing this? I never did this. And now I feel vindicated, man.
All right.
Because it turns out all you people thinking you were being prepared were actually suckers. Suckers. You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So last night, 10 NBC decided to ask, a good question. Where were you?
Sorry, you kind of surprised me.
I was trying to walk you into it.
Sorry.
Try this again. 10NBC decided to ask.
Good question.
See, you did it now, too.
You faked me out.
Yeah, I did. 10NBC did a story about whether or not, with the cold weather we've had, you should be lifting up your windshield wipers.
Yeah, taking them off the shield.
Yep, went.
What?
Did you say taking them off the shield?
Mm-hmm.
You think that makes you sound tough?
That's car talk.
No, it's not. I've never heard that. Nobody's ever said that.
Yeah.
Should you pull your windshield wipers off your car and lift them up when you're not driving in the wintertime? The idea behind it is, well, they're not going to get stuck to the car.
Yeah.
I don't want to damage my windshield.
Mm-hmm.
This is a better thing to do. So they went out to Scotty's Automotive and Brake.
Oh, one of your top guys.
Yep. And they talked to Paul. Couldn't get Scotty, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, who works out there, I'm going to read you a quote. It is not a good idea to prop up your windshield wipers in the winter.
Oh, it doesn't work?
No. Well, no, it works. You can do it, but there's a couple of reasons. One, it stresses the spring in the windshield wiper.
You got to get the pressure off the spring.
The tension in that spring.
Too much tension.
Keeps the windshield wiper on the window.
Ah.
So that could affect how they work when you put it
back
down.
Then you have loose wipers.
You got, yeah. And
nothing like a bad loose wipe.
Look, man, we've met a couple of girls who were loose wipers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two.
Stay away. But
if you get a strong wind and your windshield wipers are up, they can be bent backwards. Mm. They can be blown off.
Blown off?
Or three, if they get blown the other way, they can come down hard, crack the window.
Oh, damn.
Like
cost you some money.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do, it turns out, is prop up these windshield wipers. And I find the most interesting about
this.
What's that? I've been on this planet 38 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Since I was a child, I've seen people doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until this very moment that I am finding out personally, this is bad.
Yeah, nobody ever questioned it.
Because it looked like, yeah,
maybe that's why
sense.
It's a good question.
Not even close.
That's what it's called.
Was nobody going to say anything? Because, like, here's the thing. What? Even 10NBC, nobody went to 10NBC was like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
They had to go to Scotty's, talk to Paul.
Yes.
And then Paul, like, were you guys keeping this quiet for a very long time?
Yeah,
like,
because it's in their favor for you to wreck your windshield, because then you have to go fix it.
Well, no, because then
big
Paul
windshield.
He's got the springs. He's got the tension.
What is he? He's opening up a trench coat? What do you need? Spring tension?
I think what's also funny about this, too, is for years you were shamed for not doing it.
Thank
like,
you.
It was an unspoken thing where if you saw everybody else around you, all your neighbors had them up, people in the parking lot had them up, you looked, you felt like you looked stupid, like you didn't know what you were doing if you forgot to put up your windshield wipers.
Everyone I saw put up their windshield wipers always had, like, an L.L. Bean coat on. Like, there's a type of person.
I always feel like more people do it than don't do it.
You think so?
Well, especially when you know there's a lot of snow coming.
Maybe it depends on where you live.
Could be.
Like, are east siders more likely to lift up their windshield wipers than west siders?
I knew a lot of west siders that did it.
Okay. Maybe I'm off there. But you also lived in a nice place on the west side?
I'm driving around. You see it?
Driving. Even in the poor parts. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. 10NBC does good question yesterday, and their good question was, should I put my windshield wipers up off my car in the wintertime? And they went out to Scotty's Automotive, and the guy out there, not Scotty, Paul, said, no, don't do that. You're going to damage your windshield. And it's been how long we've been doing this, and nobody ever said don't do this.
Okay.
Like, now you don't think, how did not a single person who works in that industry, like, put on social media somewhere?
Tell people.
Yeah, don't, hey, this is a bad idea. It's a really bad idea.
Yeah, but I wonder if there's guys that, even in the business, didn't know not to do that.
You would have to know.
Not necessarily.
Of all the crap that's shared on Facebook and social media, that never circulated?
But, like, when it started. Because this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
So it's just kind of like everybody just does this.
No, but you would think the first person that's like, my windshield wipers aren't working, they're not hugging the window or
it didn't stop anything.
Yeah.
The other fascinating part about this story.
What's that?
Is it's a unique study in how information travels. Mm. Because I don't know if anyone's ever been told, lift up your windshield wipers.
Yeah.
We were only doing it
because. You saw it.
Yeah, exactly. And I, now Kimmy's on the phone, but there was.
You knew why they did it, because if you're in a Wegmans parking lot, why else would your windshield wipers be up like that? You didn't drive around like that.
Sure,
you
wouldn't
have noticed it.
So when I was a kid,
yeah.
And Kimmy will remember this, in like middle school, there was this rumor, and this was pre-internet, that Marilyn Manson had his ribs removed so he could nob himself.
Yeah.
You remember that?
That was a big story.
Kimmy, you remember that? You remember that, right?
Vaguely, yeah. Okay.
Turns out it didn't work.
But, again, there was no social media.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, like, magazine article in Rolling Stone written about it. Somehow, to every school in America.
Yeah, it got out.
This rumor dispersed, and everyone heard it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone heard it. Nobody knows how every kid in middle and high school heard that rumor back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of this. Because nobody ever went to anyone and was like, lift up your windshield wipers.
Yes.
And people that did it.
It got out by word of mouth.
But they never asked why.
No, they didn't.
We just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad.
That looks right.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris. How are you, brother?
Good. How you doing?
Good, Chris.
Listen, this is going to sound like an old guy thing to say, but I've been saying that for years about the things in the windshield wipers. I swear to God, every time I see it, I say that they're going to stretch those strings out, you know?
So who do you say it to? Who do you say it to, though, Chris?
I'm sorry?
Who do you say it to? Because whoever that person's with you, I would hate you so much if I'm your wife. Hey, you know what? I'm going to stretch some springs out over there.
Yeah, my girlfriend, my daughters, things like that. You know, it's just like, and, you know, it's like I said, it's like a dad thing to say, I guess.
You're right. Well, Chris.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Chris.
Kind of funny that you guys brought this up today.
We're happy you're vindicated, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, take care. There goes Chris. And then there are people, Tommy, that sometimes can't handle new information.
Like what?
Well, I mean, look, like we're kind of seeing this with American history, right? You're raised and you are given what happened.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there is stuff that was kind of like not presented that may challenge what you believe in. But you have held so fast to this belief, you don't want to change your opinion.
Okay.
That's why we're going to talk to Kevin. He's on CMF. Hey, how are you, Kevin?
I am well.
Okay, what's up?
We lift the wipers so we don't tear them up. You know how many wipers, blades, and arms I've lost over the years by not lifting them up?
Too many to count.
Yes. And now all of a sudden, one random dude at a garage says the spring is going to wear out, and everybody says they can't do this anymore.
So you're telling me you don't believe Paul at Scotty's Automotive that it's bad?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. My experience in life with wipers the whole life teaches me that's the thing to do.
But
because
why?
When I didn't do it, I lost many wiper blades.
Because they were frozen to the window.
Yeah.
But you were just being lazy. You could have detached them from the window with your scraper.
Yes, but if I lift up the blades, then I can put them down and I can be lazy. I mean.
No, but in being lazy, you're damaging your car, according to Paul over at Scotty's Automotive.
You just believe Paul, though.
No. I put my wipers up so I don't damage my blades.
He's a lifter.
Okay. All right.
I'm a non-lifter.
Yeah.
And I've never lost a windshield wiper in the 32 years I've lived here.
Well, bro, Kevin's losing
You probably always parked in a garage.
No, I used to park outside.
Yeah, he does have you there.
No, but I used to park outside.
Oh, Mr. Pittsford doesn't have a garage?
Ooh, checkmate, bitch. You know what? I didn't like Kevin at first, but he's coming. He's growing
I don't
on
like
me.
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. All right. So what you're telling me then? is even with this new information presented to
you. He ain't listening.
Right? You're going to keep doing what you're doing because that's what you believe in.
No, I'm just saying I don't believe that guy. I'm parking in the garage, so I don't need to put anything up.
Sorry, the call
he's
was pointless.
He's done paying the price, man.
But no, but the call was pointless because he's parking in the garage. Doesn't even need to do it anymore.
The call wasn't pointless. I got to argue with you guys.
All right, great call, Kevin. Was he doing a funny voice or is that his real
that's
voice?
That's his voice.
Oh.
I know.
All right.
A little bit of a high talker.
Yeah, I know. Look, who am I to judge? I get up high.
No, I'm going to judge him. That's okay. A high talker.
All right. 252-WCMF. We'll take one more call because now it turns out It's turning because we thought that we've established something new to help people, and you know what they say?
What they say?
Well, like there are some people whose message is so radical, it's not accepted in their time.
Okay,
and we're starting to feel like those people.
So people have had their minds blown right now.
Well, so much so that we're catching the flack for it.
What happened?
Well, John's on CMF. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I didn't see the news story, but I got to imagine Berkeley Breen interviewed other people.
First of all, let me stop you. It was Emily Putnam. Emily Putnam did a bang-up job on this story, but go on, John, go on.
All right, well, I appreciate Emily's reporting. I've seen a lot more damage from leaving them down, and not just wiper blades, but sometimes wiper motors, because if your wiper blades freeze to the windshield, and sometimes you turn your motor on, if they're frozen that stuck, you might need a new wiper motor. So I've seen, and I've got, like, guys that drive for me, so we've got a lot of, like, you know, wiper motors, wiper blades. And I've never heard of somebody, the wind blowing somebody's wiper down and smashing the windshield. I don't know if you guys have heard that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I just listen to Ice-T, and I get Car Shield. Because you never know when one of your babies is going to go bad on you.
But, John, let me ask you this question. You know, just a couple of guys.
Going to ruin a motor pad.
Having a reasonable debate about wiper blades. Yeah. John, Paul over at Scotty's Automotive stands to benefit from people that damage their cars.
That's a good point, Pat. Okay.
So, John, if it were beneficial to keep the blades down. Well, let me try this again. If what you're saying, if it's worse to keep the blades down. Okay, now I confused myself.
He's telling you that don't damage your windshield.
Okay, yeah.
And your wipers.
Okay.
Which is counterproductive to what he does for a living, which is repair things.
No, he works at something. Oh, you mean Scotty.
The guy that, you know, the mechanic.
Sure.
Why would he do that?
Thank you. But
life experience tells me I've heard a lot more damage from wiper blades, wiper motors.
Who do you talk to? That you have this much side information on other people's windshields.
Wait, you don't go to the coffee shop out in Pittsburgh every week for motor talk?
They don't let me in.
No?
You know why? Wiper's down.
Yeah, you're probably right. John, listen, buddy. One day.
Wipe on,
you're either
Johnny.
A wiper up or wiper down.
No, there's no in between, buddy.
But make sure you wipe.
One day we're going to find out the truth, and you don't want to be the last man with his blades up where he finally has to admit, oh, my God, all these years I was wrong.
You don't want to be the wrong set of wiper history.
When my springs go out, I'll go see that guy, and I will call you guys back, and I will admit that I was wrong when that happened.
Oh, a follow-up.
Can't wait. John, thanks for the call, buddy. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're good to go.